I was on vacation for a couple of weeks recently, and I was with my godfather, who was really responsible for me becoming a Catholic. I was not born into a Catholic family. And I had a lot of time to reflect, why did I convert to the Catholic Church? I was only 17 or 18 years old. And I was reflecting, why did that happen? Once I became a Catholic, I was insufferable. I began to try to convince everybody I came across to become Catholic. And I used a lot of arguments, and I read a lot, used more arguments, and I debated to recruit more people into the church by the force of my words and ideas and knowledge. Nobody responded. I was a pest. Over the years as priest and previously as permanent deacon, I have to admit I have never, ever seen a person come into the Catholic Church because of arguments. No amount of discussion or knowledge has really brought anybody to the church, to the faith. Yes, it informs. Once you're faithful, you want to know these things, but that's not why people come. And I know a lot of converts today, and none of them came in because of arguments and discussions. So why did I convert to the faith? What affected me to come to this? And I realized what it was. It was peace. It was a peace I had never, ever known. I met a young man. He was just a few years older than me. And he had a huge impact on me. And he never, ever tried to convince me to be a Catholic. He lived his faith. He was a young man, but he lived his faith. He never missed Mass. He went to confession frequently. He received Holy Communion all the time. He prayed the rosary. He was just a normal guy. He was an athlete. He did all kinds of things that young men do. He wasn't perfect. I met his family. They're not perfect, but they had a peace in their family, a peace of faith. They never tried to make arguments or try and convince anybody to become Catholic, but their impact on others was remarkable. They didn't miss Mass. They went to Holy Communion every chance they got, and they went to frequent confession. They had a deep peace in their lives, and by practicing the sacramental life of the church, it was that simple. They had a hope I had never known. Why did I convert to the Catholic Church? Because I wanted what he had. And I've heard that said by many, many converts, that they experienced something and they said, I want that. We have to keep something in mind. The devil is real. And the devil knows how to win us over. And the devil does it by taking away our peace. The devil has tools, and his tools are primarily fear, pride, and anger. There's some other things thrown in there too, but those are the things that upset our peace. Fear is probably the biggest one of them. Our peace is biblical. Let me show it to you in Scripture. So, remember the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Mary, right? At the time of her conception of the baby Jesus, God did not violate Mary. He didn't take anything away from her. So the archangel announced the good news, but first he had to take care of her fear. Can you imagine coming face to face in the middle of the night with the archangel Gabriel? I don't know about you, but I think I'd be looking for the exit. I think I'd be trying to find a safe place. And so the first words out of the angel's mouth were, "Hail Mary," but then he said, "Do not fear. Do not fear." And then he announced the news. And then she thought about those words and she responded, "Be it done unto me." Her free choice. In peace, in hope, she chose it. Now, 9 months later, near Bethlehem, on what we now call Christmas Eve, there were some shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks when the angel of the Lord appeared to them with light and the glory of God. Wouldn't that make you feel comfortable? Right away, having that kind of appearance. And they were concerned. But the angel told them, "Do not be afraid." Every time Jesus in his ministry stepped into a new crowd of people, he would say something like, "Peace be with you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't lose your peace. Tranquilo, cálmense." He would say, "Do not lose your peace." What was he doing? He was chasing the devil out of the moment, because the devil did not want those encounters to happen. And so, with the power of the Son of God, he would say, "Peace to you." This is powerful. This is powerful. And I think this is one of the reasons the church grew so fast, because the church learned that peace, that calm, that hope, even in the face of danger and persecution. Jesus wishes us peace. He invites us into his peace. He says in the Mass, "Peace be with you. Let us offer a sign of peace to one another." It's key to our faith. You grow in peace. Couples, you couples know that, well, maybe not you guys, but it's some couples who have some big spats and disagreements, and maybe things can get a little bit uneasy. And then comes the moment of reconciliation, and you desire peace. It may not be the words you use, but that's what you want. And you know how you feel after that moment has passed, when you're convinced that the reconciliation is real and it's peaceful. Or perhaps when you've gone to confession, and after you walk out of confession, you feel like this great weight has been lifted off your shoulders, something you didn't think you could get away from, and it's gone, and you have peace. This is Advent. What we do in Advent is we prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. We prepare ourselves for a conversion, to receive a God who comes to us. This is Advent. The world can get us all agitated. Look what happens when, back in November, they're already doing Christmas jingles and taking the meaning and the peace out of Christmas. Don't allow anyone to take your peace. Now, sometimes we find ourselves, we have to use the tools of Advent to experience Advent. What are the tools of Advent? Really, they're things that help us regain control, regain peace, push the world back, like prayer. Really good tool in Advent. A lot of us don't take time for it. Fasting. Fasting's no good if it's not accompanied with prayer, and prayer's no good unless it has some sacrifice with it over a long haul. And this brings peace. Alms. You've heard it said, alms is one of the tools of Advent, and remembering those around us who don't have peace because they don't have what they need. I'll give you an example of how this peace goes is messed up. Let's say you see a very poor person, a destitute person, and they're there. We just find a way to block them out and not see them anymore. See them. If they need alms, give them alms. You know that anxiety when you feel when you're walking down the street and you're coming upon a destitute person and you kind of get all agitated inside. I want to cross the street. I want to get out of here. Well, guess what? That means you need to be in the presence of more poor people. This is what Pope Francis is telling us. I got a little imaginary game for you. Let's say you got a $100 bill in your pocket. And you see somebody that you know is in need. And let's say you're having a really tough time letting go of that dollar bill, that $100 bill. You feel that tension? That's not peaceful. It means you got to give away more bills. That's where you're going to find your peace. Not in taking them and put them in your pocket. That's not peace. That's a false peace. Don't lose your Advent. You got 4 weeks to make straight the paths of the Lord. Don't waste it. It's not Christmas yet.